Father, it's a special day in the calendar, in the sense of that we celebrate mothers. When I was asked to preach this morning, Lord, you knew what it was that you wanted me to talk about. Thank you for coming alongside and opening up my heart and my mind so that I could share what it is that you would have me say this morning. So as we're here, Lord God, I would just ask that you would guide and direct the words that are said, and may they speak into our hearts and lives, and may they have a Christ-powering change in our lives that we, whether we're mothers or fathers, whether we're single, whether we're newlyweds, help us to hear the words that you have for us this morning. In the name of Christ, we do pray. Amen and amen. So I'm taking a portion of scripture this morning out of Romans chapter 16, and it's verse 13, where Paul writes, "Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine." An old Spanish proverb goes something along this line: "An ounce of mother is worth a ton of priest." Mothers sometimes don't realize the amount of power that they really have and influence that they have around them. I cannot tell you how much I owe to the solemn word of many mothers in my life. And over 40 years ago, I wrote a story, and I'd like to share that story with you this morning. It was when I was very young in the Lord, and it was speaking to my heart at that time about how the many people that had influence in my life helped to change me to the person that I am even today. And it's called simply My Mother's Many Faces. The grammar in it, I have to admit, sometimes makes me stop and think, boy, was I uneducated back then. But the story is there, and I think it has some value even today. Today is Mother's Day. It is a time to reflect back in time. We all have many memories of our mothers, and I should like to write about some memories that I have of my many mothers. You see, before I turned 3, I lost both my mom and dad. And so having been influenced by grandparents on both sides and many other people in my life, part of that is the result of this story. I find it a little hard to write a great deal about my mother. As I said, she passed away long before I realized who she was. It was war years, and my mother contracted the disease that was running rampant at that time, which was TB. Even though I did not get to know my mother, I still have many fond memories about some of my adopted mothers. As my title indicates, it is about my many mothers' faces that I will share with you this morning. One such mother was Mother Sapine. She was always there when I needed someone to talk to. Now, Mother Sapine came in my life when I was almost 6 years old. So, for the many years that I knew her, she had a lot of influence in my life. Mothers seem to have that very special something, even though they are busy. They seem to have plenty of time to listen to your problems. And most of the time, they were able to solve them. As I have said, Mother Sapine was one such mother. I thank God for such a person. I sometimes feel that if she had not been part of my life, I would not have made it through some very troublesome times. If I had to pick a mother that gave me the most advice when I was young, it was to my mother, Sapine. I think of her often. She has many years ago passed away, but I still remember the influence that she had in my life. Although, when I really think about it, I think about the many times at the kitchen table, and all of us probably remember back when the kitchen table was the center of the household, and that's where you went and you had your deepest discussions, and that was one of the things that Mother Sapine always had, was the door was open, the cookies were on, and you could sit down and you could talk to her, and you could just bare your heart and soul, and she was there for you. The next mother I am going to mention came into my life a few years later. Actually, I had already served in the Army and gotten out, and Mother Mizuko became part of my life as I was this young rebellious person that thought that nothing could ever harm or injure him. I could do whatever I wanted and get away with it, but Mother Mizuko had other things in mind. She took me alongside. She brought me into her home, and long before the movie Mamma Mia came along, that was her. She was there. She was a cook, and she was an excellent cook. And my love for cooking to this day is because of her influence in my life. We would go places, for instance, I don't know whether you know Vancouver very well, but Commercial and Hastings was the Italian district, and we would go down there on a regular basis, we'd go shopping. And there was no such thing as buying frozen foods. Not. No way. Wouldn't be in the house. So we would go shopping for a fresh bird or a fresh cut of beef or whatever the case may be, whatever the supper was going to be. And it was nothing but spectacular. She was brought up in the old country and was taught that her husband was the head of the home. Mother Mizuko would cook, scrub, do all the household chores without grumbling or complaining. And I might mention, she didn't even have a modern wash machine or anything like that. There was no such thing as a dishwasher. She did it all. And she taught me the value of putting together a proper meal, but not only that, of keeping an orderly house. I don't feel that I have to go out and go into debt to have all these modern things. And for the longest time when we were on the farm, we didn't have a lot of the modern things until my wife went out and got a job, and she said to me, I need a dishwasher. So instead of a dishwasher, I brought home a microwave. My next mother that I would like to share with you entered into my life quite a few years after that. I had moved to Edmonton, and I was looking for a place to live. I met some people who knew some other people, and they said, well, this young lady here, she has kind of a boarding house, and you might be interested in going and staying there. So I contacted them, and Mother Smith was quite the lady. She had a major drinking problem, and her husband were constantly fighting, but it was a roof over my head. So I learned a few things off of Mother Smith, in the sense of that I had made a promise way back when, long before I was going to get married or anything like that, that if children were to be a part of my family life, that would be the end of any booze around my place. And so that was one of the things that Janet and I talked about early on in our relationship, was if we were to have children, there would be none of that. At that time in life, I would like to thank my Mother Smith for her care and concern for me while I lived there, and to say that she was a great help to me. In closing this page of my life, I might say this experience this experience might have been a negative thing, but I look at it in a positive manner. I look at it in all the things I learned about some of the things you shouldn't do as a family, and it helped me in later life when I got married. There is one mother that holds a very special place in my life, and she's my mother-in-law. Now, some people might say that your mother-in-law, well, you know, you don't get along with them. I didn't get along with mine. I mean, there's no two ways about it. As a matter of fact, her and I had some good headbutts at times. But through it all, my mother-in-law was there, and she was a praying mother-in-law. And it was through her prayers that I ended up, after getting injured, that I ended up going to school. And when I went to school to get my further education, it was I wasn't going to be a pastor. I was going to be a psychologist, and I was going to help all these young people that had issues in their life and so on and so forth. And after the first semester of taking psych and all that other kind of stuff, I said, that's enough of that. I ain't going there. And I went home, and I said to my wife, I'm going to become a pastor. And she said to me, not with this wife. Anyway, let's see, I've been ordained for 25 years. I've been in ministry for over 35 years. And I thank God that we together as a family talked about it and prayed about it, and God led us down that path. Which brings me to another mother. And when I wrote this story, we were 15 years into our wedding, into our marriage. Our son was born. Life was going along pretty good. We had things happening in our life. Janet went to school in Edmonton. I went to school in Camrose. Our son went to school in Rosebriar, so we were going every which way around Alberta. And sometimes we got to see each other for an hour or two a day. But my wife has been with me, and she's helped me make the decisions in our life as we grew up together. And as I say, grew up, because when we first got married, I was pretty raw. We'll just put it that way. But God had his hand upon what we did. And so this morning, as we think about our mothers and the mothers that have had influence in our life, let us remember that, you know, it might not be a great big earth-shattering situation. It could be just as small as, you know, a prayer. But mothers have a very special talent for being there when we most need them. So out of Romans chapter 16, verse 13, as I said, greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. A quote that I found years ago, and I kind of like it because it applies a little bit to my life. And it goes like this. My mother said to me, if you became a soldier, you'd be a general. Well, I didn't become a general. Didn't stay there long enough. If you became a monk, you'd be a pope. Well, not me. And instead, I became a painter. And years ago, around the Alberta, central Alberta section, I was known as Michelangelo. Not because I was the great artiste, but I was an artist. I painted churches all over Alberta. And so they used to call me, hey, there's Michelangelo. So that quote kind of applies to my life, because that's what I did for many years. I was a painter and drywaller. I'm quite certain that everyone in this room has been influenced by a mother. It may be good, or it may be bad. Some of us didn't have a good relationship with our mothers. But Mother's Day reminds us of their contribution. Every mother has an influence. They are in a unique position to share and impart stuff into our lives. Every one of these mothers in this world, whether good or bad, has some influence on how we turn out. For instance, if you have a praying mother, you know that your mother is constantly praying for you. Even when sometimes we turn our backs and walk away from God, we know that mother is always there and she's always praying. Emotions are shared. Security is provided. Skills and manners are taught. Faith values are transferred. A mother has a special sphere of influence. She can impart love, the most basic and important value that Christians should learn and share. And love shows up in many different ways. But she has that influence to impart that love to us. We recognize mothers today, but in some sense, every mother can share what I call that mother influence. Rufus's mother shared her influence with Rufus, a physical son. And she also shared some influence with Paul, a spiritual son. You might be thinking, why does Paul write about Rufus and his mother? This verse has some interesting history. Because Rufus isn't one of those names that you come across every day, is it? I mean, it's a very obscure name. It's very different. Paul calls Rufus chosen in the Lord, which means that he became a Christian. How did Rufus come to Christ? Scholars point to another verse in Scripture that also has the name of Rufus in it. And it's taken from Mark chapter 15, verse 21, out of the New King James Version. And it says there, "Then they compelled a certain man, Simon, a Cyrene, the father of Alexander and Rufus, as he was coming out of the country and passing by, to bear Christ's cross." So here we have, in a different book, in a different chapter, we have the story of Simon, the father of Rufus. Mark, according to tradition, wrote his gospel in Rome. And therefore, some soldiers believed that there is a link, or some scholars believe that there is a link between Rufus, the son of Simon, who carried the cross for Jesus, and the Rufus that Paul greets in the book of Romans. Simon had no interest in Christ when he was commandeered to carry that cross. As a matter of fact, I would probably say that he had no interest in Christianity whatsoever. But Simon was forced to carry Jesus' cross, and that experience changed his life. Simon came home and told his family about Jesus. So here they are, they're sitting around the kitchen table, and he said, "You would never believe what happened to me today. I'm minding my own business, and them Roman soldiers commandeered me and made me carry this cross for this guy." It changed his life. The family listened. It is very possible that this testimony changed everything in their lives forever. For we see that Mark identifies two sons of Simon as his children. The names were, as I said before, Alexander and Rufus. In Romans chapter 16, verse 13, Rufus, son of Simon, is described as the son of a woman who the Apostle Paul considered his surrogate mother. Put the pieces together, and it's obvious that when Simon returned home, he told his wife about Christ and the crucifixion. She became not only a godly woman, but an influence to Paul. Simon told his sons, Alexander and Rufus, about what he had witnessed, and they became two of the greatest believers of the first century of the church. That surprising, embarrassing moment that Simon endured carrying the cross of Christ changed that family's life. So one man influenced his family, and they became Christians. Simon's wife, who had children, influenced her own children as well as other people. So a mother's influence can be given to two groups of children. They can be given to our physical children, or they can be given to our spiritual children. And both are just as important. Hear what Titus chapter 2 says to us. Titus chapter 2, verses 3 to 5. It says, "You older women, likewise, be reverent in your behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blemished. Titus chapter 2. The Bible shows in Titus that women who are married should love their husbands and love their children. And this illustrates to us that mothers of physical children should share their mom influence. But this verse also says that there will be women who can share that mom influence with younger women. I would like to insert here that they can also share their influence with children that are not their own. Every time your child has somebody come over and visit your own son or daughter, you have a chance to influence them in the way that you act around them. So you can share that mom influence with the physical child. If you are a young mother with a newborn baby, if you are a mother with a grown child, or if you are a grandmother, you have that power of influence. This even says that you have that mom influence if a Christian woman is married to an unbelieving husband. That's when you're called to pray. That's when you're called upon most heartily to ask God to really be there in your life, to help you to be the witness that God would want you to be at that time. If you are a Christian woman who works with children, students, or even the elderly, you too can share that mom influence. All Christian women will share that mom influence with someone at some time in their lives. Moms, who are the children you are influencing? And if I was to have a coffee question this morning, that would have been the coffee question that I would have asked. Moms, who are the people that you are influencing the most today? And I want you to think about that today, and I want you to pray about that. And if for whatever reason you haven't really spent a lot of time sharing what God has done in your life, please ask God to give you the strength to know when to speak and how to speak, and who to speak to. Moms, who are the children you are influencing? Moms, are you instilling the value of love in your children? Whether that is sharing a prayer, a scripture, a testimony, or a meal, think of every act of influence as an act of love for God. Paul said this to Titus, that women should love their husbands and their children with God's love. He knows because he learned it from his spiritual mother. And think about this. His spiritual mother was unnamed. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever noticed that in Scripture? There was no name. She was unnamed mother of Rufus. You don't even know her name, but we see the result of her influence. It changed many people's lives. Rufus's mother influenced her son, her spiritual son Paul, and even generations of Christians to come. We wish the same for each of you today. Happy Mother's Day. I'd like to just close in prayer again and turn it over to whoever's, I guess it's the music people, the worship team, if they'd like to make their way up. Let's just bow for a word of prayer. Father God, as we have heard about mothers today, it is my prayer that you would speak to each mother here today. Speak to her life, speak to her heart, speak to her mind, and help her to be that shining example that you have called her to be. Because it's a very special position that moms hold. And Father, just be with us all as we go from this place today. Have your loving arms around us, protecting each and every one of us, and keep us safe until we meet again. God is good. All the time. Amen.